KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM present Candidate Forums 2017. Brought to you by George Grow & Sons Roofing, ESB Financial, Geotech, and Holiday Resort. And now Candidate Forums 2017 on KVOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. All the information you need, live and local.
And good morning and welcome to the KVOE Candidate Forum. I'm your host, Brandon Peoples. Today we'll be discussing the various issues of concern with the five Emporia City Commission candidates. Each candidate will have 60 seconds for an opening statement. We'll then head into a series of questions compiled by the KVOE news staff. Each of the candidates will have a chance to answer those questions, and we'll ask the candidates to hold any rebuttal until everyone has had the opportunity to answer the question. Each candidate will then have a chance to rebut. Later in the program, we'll also open it up to questions from the listening audience, which can be submitted to the KVOE ValueNet Fiber Optic Studio line, 342-5863, or text it into the Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line at 342-5863. Candidate Forum today brought to you by ESB Financial, George Grow & Sons Roofing, Geotech, and Holiday Resort. And now, without further ado, let's meet the candidates. First, the incumbents. To my right, John Geitz. John, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Danny Giefer, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Over to my left here, we've got Kelly Wade. Good morning.
Yeah, thank you.
And Becky Jaggard-Smith, good morning.
Good morning.
And Christian Kiesler, thanks for being here.
Good morning.
All right. Well, we will allow the candidates each to deliver their opening statements. We drew numbers, 1 through 5, and Becky Jaggard-Smith will go first.
Well, good morning. You left me a couple of questions, so I'll just ask. I am Becky Jaggard-Smith. I am multiple generations from Emporia. My family's been here a long time, and they've always had a record of giving back, and so I decided I have also followed that path. So as soon as I got married, I started running the Town Crier bookstore and did that successfully for 20-some years. And then while I did that, I also worked for Main Street, volunteered. I was president of the museum. I've been on the Friends of the Library board. I was 6 years with NRAB bringing recycling to town. I have done about everything through the city. My father was the golf course manager for a long time, so I've always grown up around the city and the inner city workings. And then working with Main Street, bringing massive events to town, and working with the small businesses and working with development, that gives me another insight. And so when some people I highly respect asked me to run for city commission, I said, well, you know what? I think it's time to do that. I had closed the bookstore down, still successful, but I chose to close it down, and I opened up Twin Rivers Winery. And we are having a great time over there, and it's running successfully. So I thought, now is the time. Children are grown. So I wanted to give back a little bit more and do my best for Emporia.
Okay. Next will be John Geitz.
Sure. First of all, thanks, KVOE, for the opportunity to have this forum. It's something that's a great way for the community to learn a little bit more about all of us. My background as an Emporian, I was born here and have lived here pretty much the entire time of my life. My career as a financial advisor has really helped me prepare for event service like this, because I have very strong budgeting skills and I'm a very big believer in long-range planning. I've served on the city commission the last 4 years, including 2 terms as the mayor. And in that time, I think I've learned some very important things. Our budget is not something that is easily understood, and it even took me, you know, a year and a half to be able to fully understand all the inner workings of the city budget. So that's a skill I think that I'll bring. I won't have any time to get up to speed in the future, but I've really enjoyed my 4 years on the city commission, and I'd like to continue for another 4. So I appreciate the opportunity and hope to earn everybody's vote on November 7th. Thanks.
All right. Up next will be Kelly Wade.
Hi. Thanks for putting this together so we can all talk. My name is Kelly Wade. I was born in Emporia and have lived here my whole life, having graduated from Emporia High and Emporia State. I've been on the Planning Commission for almost 6 years and been very active in leadership in Emporia. Like John, I'm also a financial advisor and I have a big background in budgeting and money management. I have almost 30 years of management experience, including the last 5 as a business owner. I love Emporia and have a deep passion for it. I want to see Emporia grow and thrive. It's full of great people. I'll represent all of Emporia, not just one group. Thank you.
All right. Up next will be Danny Giefer.
Good morning. I'm Danny Giefer. I'm a father and a grandfather and a small business owner. I own Mr. G's Car Washes and other investments here in the community. And I'm a voice with the City Commission. Before I started local business, I worked at Iowa Beef and 30 years at Wolf Creek. I appreciate the chance to be with you this morning to talk about the November 7th election and to talk about issues that are important to our community. Thank you.
Okay. And Christian Kiesler.
All right. I guess I'll go last. I appreciate it, KVOE, for having us on here. You know, this is my fourth time running for City Commission, so I think I've ran against everyone here except for you, Becky. But, you know, let's give it another shot. In the past, I've worked with the CVB and the Chamber and various boards throughout Main Street, other things in the community, and most recently I'm with Coldwell Banker's real estate agent and property manager. Now I'm excited to give it another shot. I think over the years I've had some more experience, and this is probably the most I've been ready to be a city commissioner, so let's go for it.
Okay. Thank you, candidates, for your opening statements here. We'll go into questions now. And the first question, compiled by our KVOE News staff, is what is your top priority if elected? And we'll start with John Guyance.
So in very general terms, I think the biggest thing that's going to face the City Commission in the future is how to make make our priorities financially, because we're going to continue to face declining revenue sources and increasing expenses across the board. We've done a good job the last 4 years holding the mill levy very stable. But at some point, our costs of labor, our costs of infrastructure, and our just general operating expenses are growing faster than our revenue. And that's going to be the biggest thing, is how we can control the growth of expenses in an effort to maintain or stabilize the mill levy.
Okay. And Kelly, your chance to answer the question here.
Okay. My top priority is, because I love Emporia, I want to see it grow and make it a better place to live, work, and play. And I also believe making sure the expenses do not exceed the revenues is also very important.
Okay. Danny.
Well, I agree with John. You know, the top priority is going to be our budget, again, with expenses going up as far as our labor. And you know, we've had some increases in our taxes, you know, as far as our sales tax coming in has been, but it's been very small. So with mandates that the government comes out with and keeping our infrastructure healthy, so that's probably going to be our biggest priority, is keeping that going.
All right, same question for Christian. What is your top priority if elected?
Yeah, I think overall it's just going to be growth, and how do we grow the community, with obviously making sure we're financially sound. You know, infrastructure is going to be huge going forward, and the more we try to develop, the more we are going to have to put more into infrastructure, and just make sure that all around Emporia is, you know, a clean community and has the financial backing that we can continue to grow.
All right, Becky.
Well, I really would like to see sustainable growth. With entrepreneurship needs to be a very big lead in that. You see Dynamic Discs, you've seen Fanastols, you've seen the locals grow their businesses to make a huge revenue impact in the city. You're also going to have to look at those other partners that have a piece of the mill levy and see what they can do to pull their own share. So I'd like to see us grow. We need to take care of what we have first, but we also need to do it in a sustainable way.
Okay. Anybody want a time for rebuttal here? Okay. All right. We'll move on to the next question here. What are your thoughts on the Emporia sales tax? Has it accomplished its goal? Are you in favor of the extension? Why or why not? And we'll start with Kelly.
I believe it has done a great job so far. It's created over 2,000 jobs, including Hills and Camoplast, and I do believe it's vital for economic growth. So I'm in favor of the extension.
All right, Danny.
Yeah, the Emporia sales tax is for the economic growth is very important for Emporia. Many years ago it started, and like I said, Park 3 out there is mainly based on the economic development sales tax revenue that was generated from that. So, and has it accomplished its goal? I think it has. You know, you don't get every business that comes in town or the checks or, you know, that comes in here and looks at Emporia, but I think we've fared far better than most communities have. Are you in favor of this extension? Most certainly. I think it's vital to continuing the growth in, of Emporia.
All right, Christian.
I'm also in favor of the extension. I think overall it's a pretty great tool to have for economic development. I think long term we need to still look at how we approach those larger businesses and industries to bring them in. You know, originally when this was developed, I think that's the goal that it has accomplished. But, you know, looking long term, you know, maybe get away a little bit from manufacturing jobs and look at some of the other industries that we have out there.
All right, Becky.
I'm in favor of it. I mean, it's a sales tax. You're not just having your locals pay for it, or your visitors, your tourism is also helping out and keeping it going. I mean, there's a lot that can be accomplished from this tax. And as we grow, it's only going to get better. So you're going to be able to use it for even bigger and better things.
All right. And John?
So a little bit of background on the sales tax. That generates about $2 million a year. Question asks, should it be used for economic development and property tax relief? And I think that's one thing that maybe everybody else is missing, is in the past, the City Commission has split that revenue 50-50 between property tax to the general fund and property tax relief to the general fund and the rest of economic development. Last year, we capped the transfer to the economic development, industrial development sales tax fund at $900,000, which means we're directly transferring about $1.1 million to the general fund, which is equivalent to about $6 or $6.5 million. So if the sales tax is not renewed, to meet the general fund's needs would cause about a six to seven mil increase to have the same revenue. And then finally, the reason it's important is we're able to leverage that sales tax through bonding infrastructure projects for our economic development. And with the sunset coming in the next couple of years, we're not able to lengthen the term of those bond payments. And that's the other reason for trying to pass the sales tax extension now instead of waiting closer to when it matures, is because of we want the flexibility to be able to bond that revenue source for a longer term. So, but long-winded way, I strongly support the extension of the sales tax.
Okay. Anybody want time to rebut? Nope. Okay. Well, why don't we take our first break here? You are listening to the Candidate Forum on 14 KVOE, 96.9 FM and KVOE.com. We'll be back after this.
Keeping your cool under extreme conditions is important. The same goes for the roof over your head. Just ask your professional roofing contractor at George Grow & Sons. Reflective white TPO Carlisle roofing systems are proven to keep solar heat out of buildings, and they're energy efficient for high performance that's strikingly affordable. Now that's cool! George Grow & Sons Roofing and Sheet Metal, 805 East 6th in Emporia. Roofing Emporia since 1918.
This is Steve Brosmer with Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that the old saying, all politics is local, means that the foundation of our representative democracy begins with our local elected officials? Don't miss this opportunity to have your vote count more than in many other elections. I urge you to get out and vote for the candidates of your choice. And see us at Geotech for all your land surveying needs.
Welcome to the neighborhood holiday resort. Skilled nursing care for the ones you love. Holiday, a place to call home. Personal therapy with a gentle touch. Friends and neighbors wherever you go. Like family, that's Holiday. Welcome to the neighborhood Holiday Resort.
Here's Jim Wayman, president of ESB Financial.
We're proud to be a sponsor of Political Forums. We always have good candidates with different views, and it's our privilege as Americans to vote for the people who will lead our government into the future. It is our responsibility to be knowledgeable and informed voters. Forums such as this give us a chance to get to know the candidates and their positions better. As United States citizens, we have the freedom to choose our leaders.
ESB Financial, with locations in Emporia and Manhattan. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
KVOE's Candidate Forums. KVOE, live and local.
And welcome back here to the City Commission Candidate Forum here. We are talking with the candidates, John Geitz, Danny Giefer, Christian Kiesler, Becky Jaggard-Smith, and Kelly Wade here. And we continue on with our questions. Our next question is the city on the right track generally with economic development? And if not, what changes do you see that are needed? And this question will start with Danny Giefer.
I think generally the city's on the right track right now, and it's something that is kind of something that we should work on continually to improve it. Economic development is more than just bringing jobs out to our industrial parks or anything like that, but it's a lot of it. What they look for when they come in here and look at the city is your school system, quality of life, roads, and those things are all pieced into economic development. So, short answer to that. Yeah, I think we're generally on the right track.
All right. Same question for Christian Kiesler.
Yeah, you know, I think Danny touched a little bit about it. You know, with the infrastructure and the quality of life. I think it all kind of goes and bleeds in together with the economic development. And you know, as we continue to try and grow in Emporia, you know, we look at the manufacturing and how things are becoming more and more automated. And you know, what are those jobs out there that we can go for that, you know, are going to require the people in 10, 15, 20 years? You know, the small businesses, the entrepreneurship that we have locally is phenomenal. We just need to continue to build on that. And I think Emporia Main Street does a great job at helping those people here locally.
Okay. And Becky?
I think we've been on the right track. I think we can update some of our practices. Manufacturing is just not going to be what it is. Healthcare is huge. Technology is huge. Those, what people consider white collar, but they're not always. I mean, those are wonderful also. But again, our entrepreneurs are where probably the future will be. Somebody's got a unique business idea. I think the city needs something solid and concrete and planned to say, you know what, I know that you're struggling, we can help with this, we can help with that, and put it all together. I think it's can just be tweaked a little bit to show Emporia as a whole. There are, if we're looking at growing with either a larger corporation or even a large chain or anything like that, those people already have a whole department in their company that knows what Emporia is all about. They've done their research. They've done all their studying. We need to get their boots on the ground and show them Emporia as a whole, our school systems, our parks, what there is to do. They look at the quality of life, and that is going to weigh a lot on them also.
All right. Same question for John Geitz. Is the city on the right track generally with economic development? If not, what changes do you see that are needed?
You know, in my first 4 years on the commission, I've been a big believer that our economic development needs to handle and come from lots of different sources. And so in the last 4 years, I've helped to work on industrial development, which, you know, some projects like Fanastor Simmons. I've helped retail development, the, you know, Flint Hills Mall redevelopment, and Emporia Pavilions would be examples of that. Housing development, we were instrumental in the Hidden Vistas development. And a couple more educational, we've helped the first time scholarship money from Emporia to ESU. And then also we've been working on with the healthcare system at Newman Regional Health on some projects there as well. So I think we need to make sure our economic development covers lots of different sectors of the economy. We have a very strong, diversified economy, and we need to make sure that we are doing whatever we can as a city commission and as a community to help grow an all hands on deck economic development strategy.
All right, and Kelly.
Well, I believe we're going on the right track, but we can't put our guard down. And I think that we need to make sure our infrastructure is constantly improving because that affects business. And I think we just need to keep working harder. We've got ESU and Flint Hills Tech, which bring a lot of quality graduates. We need to find ways to keep them here and just keep Emporia growing.
All right. Time for rebuttal. Anybody want to rebut those comments? No. Okay, we'll move on to the next question then. What more can the city do in cooperation with the RDA, the Retail Development Association, the Chamber, and Main Street? And we'll start with Christian Kiesler.
You know, I think this is it's an interesting question because I've dealt with multiple entities here, and you know, one thing that I've seen is we don't always get along with everything. A lot of times one entity will do something great and the other one, you know, disagrees with it or doesn't feel like they're doing the right thing. You know, there's so many plans that we've done within the community as well. I think Urban Collaborative is a great one to talk about. If you read that study and you see, you know, what we could do to move forward, it would be great if all these entities would come together and have one plan. I've seen it way too many times where we do these studies and we just toss them out. We don't do anything with them. So, you know, what the city can do, I think maybe they'd just be more of a that voice for all three of the entities and just trying to move forward and grow Emporia.
All right. Becky Jaggard-Smith.
I, too, have worked with most of them, or Main Street, of course. I have been a volunteer for 20-some years, and I've actually worked for them for 6 years, up to 2 years ago. They each have their strengths. They each have their weaknesses. They each do their strengths well, but sometimes they don't like to share those strengths. And I think what we really need to do is to, as a city, needs to look at all their strengths. And if one's overlapping, maybe we help them get a bigger piece of that pie. If, you know, Main Street's development with entrepreneurs, maybe there needs to be more funding from the city for that. But if the RDA is going to use the industrial tax, you know, for property, you know, maybe they get a piece of that pie. I think we actually need to look at their budgets and say, what are their strengths? What are they really doing well? And maybe focus a little bit on that.
All right. John Geitz.
So, again, I've in the past, I was president of the chamber. I've been president of the RDA. So I know from those organizations internally, obviously, how they work. I've gained a good appreciation for Main Street's strengths in the last 4 years. And one thing about those three groups is they all have different missions. And in some cases, you know, the RDA is very good at recruiting large-scale employers. That's not a strength of Main Street. Main Street is very good with entrepreneurs. That's not a strength of the RDA. So, again, if we look at what Emporia needs, we're going to need success from all three of those organizations. And we need it as a community and as a commission to do whatever we can to ensure that they have the resources they need and then hold them accountable for how they use those resources.
Okay. Kelly Wade.
I agree with John. I believe all three entities bring a lot of valuable things to the table, and we need to encourage cooperation, and that for them, they just need to keep up their good work.
Okay. Danny Giefer?
What I've learned in the last 4 years is that all three of those entities are very, very important. The RDA and maybe touching and developing large industries moving into town, and even some small ones. The Chamber and what they do there, and Main Street, what they've did, it's pretty incredible what Main Street has did in not only the last 4 years, but in in probably the last 10 years or so, and what our Main Street has developed. So I think cooperation between all three groups needs to continue we need to realize that they're all three important in developing Emporia.
Okay. Time for rebuttal, anybody? Okay. All right, next question. Is what are your thoughts on the relationship between the city and Lyon County, and how can that relationship be improved? We'll start with Becky.
I think it's really improved in the last 4 years, and partially to John and Danny and the rest of the city commission and the current county commissioners. They have learned that you're going to have to work together in this day and age. I know they've worked on some grant funding together, and they've worked on projects together, and I think both sets right now are very open to working together, unlike past years where it was here is the city line, don't cross it, here's the county line. I think having that open dialogue and that open communication has really helped grow the region as a whole, because it's no longer an us and them. It needs to be all together. You know, working with the emergency services, partnering with those, it's the little tiny steps that are leading up to the bigger changes. So I think they just are on the right path. They just need to continue forward with it.
All right. And John.
Yeah, I think Becky hit the nail on the head. I mean, the city and county relationship is very strong right now, and I think that's allowed us to partner in small ways that can provide services to the community at a lower cost, but the constituents won't see any difference in the level of service. And I think that's been the priority of the city and the county, is to provide those services. As we move forward, again, the city's budget is going to continue to face increasing obligations at flat revenues, and the county is going to be in the same boat. So at some point, discussions on what other ways we can partner that will not affect the level of service or is something that's going to be a huge priority for both commissions. And the time to make those partnerships is when it's convenient for the city and county, not when it's mandated by the state of Kansas. So I think those are things, discussions we have had and we will continue to have. And I think we'll continue to see more partnerships with the county in the future.
Okay. And Kelly?
Yeah, I agree with what both Becky and John have said. I believe we should encourage more of them working together, apply for grants together, see where they can combine some things to save expenses so that we can keep the burden from getting higher on the taxpayer.
All right. Danny.
Yeah, the relationship between the city and county are probably as good as it's ever been. I think it's very important. We all need to realize that everyone that lives here in the city lives in Lyon County. So the cooperation that between them, and not only the county, but possibly the Newman Regional Health Center, maybe USD 253, the cooperation that the county that we worked on together with the library 4 years ago, the library was closed on Sunday, with the cooperation on the budget between the county and the city, we were able to get it back open. So I think it's very important, and also possibly cooperation, looking at cooperation with maybe other counties that's bordering us. You know, we've got the dispatch center that we work with the county, and you know, that could be a possible thing over in Chase County or even Greenwood or Osage County. So I think that cooperation is not only with the county but to other entities is very important, and we need to be open to any cooperation with those groups.
Okay. And Christian?
I can't disagree with anyone here. I think that both the city and the county's relationship right now is probably the strongest that I've ever seen it. And you know, Danny, John, and the current commission, I think they've done a great job with bringing in the county. And you know, as long as they're open to what each other's doing, I think that's great. I think the one thing that I would like to be or see being improved with the county and the city was maybe some economic development, maybe teaming up on that and trying to see what they can do all together.
All right, our more than halfway through our questions here. We'll invite any listeners out there that want to text in some questions or call in questions to our studio. You can do that, 342-5863 on the KVOE ValueNet Fiber Optic Studio line, or text the Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line, 342-5863. We'll take our second break here, and we'll be back with more of the Candidate Forum after this.
Here's Jim Wayman, president of ESB Financial.
We're proud to be a sponsor of Political Forums. We always have good candidates with different views, and it's our privilege as Americans to vote for the people who will lead our government into the future. It is our responsibility to be knowledgeable and informed voters. Forums such as this give us a chance to get to know the candidates and their positions better. As United States citizens, we have the freedom to choose our leaders.
ESB Financial, with locations in Emporia and Manhattan. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Keeping your cool under extreme conditions is important. The same goes for the roof over your head. Just ask your professional roofing contractor at George Grow & Sons. Reflective white TPO Carlisle roofing systems are proven to keep solar heat out of buildings, and they're energy efficient for high performance that's strikingly affordable. Now that's cool! George Grow & Sons Roofing and Sheet Metal, 805 East 6th in Emporia. Roofing Emporia since 1918.
This is Steve Brosmer with Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that the old saying, all politics is local, means that the foundation of our representative democracy begins with our local elected officials? Don't miss this opportunity to have your vote count more than in many other elections. I urge you to get out and vote for the candidates of your choice. And see us at Geotech for all your land surveying needs.
Holiday Resort's therapy department is available to you on an outpatient basis, so when your doctor prescribes physical or occupational therapy, ask for Holiday Resort. Occupational therapist Mark DeJesus has a great following as one of the few certified lymphedema therapists in Kansas. They are pleased to add Cindy Habicorn to their lymphedema team as well. Holiday Resort physical and occupational therapy qualifies for most health plans and handles workers' compensation treatments. Call 340-8310 and ask for Holiday Resort therapy.
KVOE's Candidate Forums. KVOE, live and local.
Back here on the KVOE Candidate Forum here on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, and KVOE.com. We are talking with the candidates on the City Commission race, John Geitz, Danny Giefer, the incumbents, and the challengers, Christian Kiesler, Becky Jaggard-Smith, and Kelly Wade. And we continue on here. We have a caller calling in with a question. Go ahead.
This is a question for the incumbent. What happened to the apartment complexes that were supposed to go up that you guys voted on maybe 18 months ago? There was one that was supposed to be on South Avenue and another cross street down there, and then there was going to be another one somewhere on East 12th. These were supposed to be like low-income apartment complexes, and one of the developers was from Missouri, and then there was another one from another out-of-state, and I believe the city voted on this, and it got approved, but we never saw them. Where are we at on that?
All right. John, you want to respond?
So, great memory, by the way. Those were what the city actually voted on was to support the low-income housing grants, and we did support both of those grants. The one on South Avenue was not awarded the grant. The one south of East 12th was, and we've seen a preliminary plan development on that, but we have not, and I think the zoning has been updated, but I don't think we've actually seen a site plan of when they're going to begin construction, but that one is in process. They were awarded the housing tax credit, so that one will be built sometime in the future.
Okay, very good.
Danny, I think you summed it up good. Only thing is the one on South Avenue was later moved to East 6th, and but that's it. Like John said, it never developed.
Okay, thank you for that question here, and we'll move on to our other questions here from the KVOE staff. Next one is: how is Emporia's infrastructure in general terms, and what priorities do you have for upgrades? And John, you're next.
So infrastructure in a town Emporia's age is an interesting subject, because we have some existing stormwater sewers or sewer lines that, out have more birthdays than most people in this room, and all the people in this room. So we definitely have been making sure that the city has invested in the improving and maintaining our current infrastructure. We have in the last 4 years, done an annual relining of a sewer project. We are going to pause on that for the next couple years as we are building the new wastewater treatment facility. We've done massive improvements at the water treatment plant to update our water safety equipment up there. We've done water line replacement, water main replacement, street rehabs. And the problem is all that stuff is incredibly expensive. The city's share of the Lyon County sales tax is about $2.5 million a year. And when that was passed originally, the commission before Danny and I said that they would spend, the policy would be to spend all of that money on infrastructure, and we've continued that policy the last 4 years. $2.5 million a year sounds like a ton of money. It doesn't really go very far. I mean, if we did a block of a road with storm sewers, new sewers, and pavement, we're pushing $400,000 to $500,000 per block. So $2.5 million doesn't last very long. That being said, we're trying to be strategic on how we're doing things and targeting our most aged and most under stress infrastructure with improvements and repair.
All right, Kelly Wade.
Well, target some of the water first, because we don't need another repeat of what happened earlier this year where we lost water for a day. We need to make sure that it's all in looped systems so that the water won't take down the whole city. And then 12th Avenue, where the water's still coming up in the street, that'd be one of the first places I'd target, is to fix the water mains in the street there where all the patches and leaks are.
All right. Danny.
And I you know, it's a challenge. If you look at most communities, I went to the National League of Cities meeting here a couple years ago, and their biggest challenge for all cities coming out of that was their infrastructure. So so that's something that, you know, that with aging pipes, roads and everything. And I think the important thing is to prioritize. You know, we only have so much money, the $2.5 million that John mentioned is there, and the funding for the water lines comes out of the water fund, and the sewer comes out of the sewer fund. So we just need to prioritize it, do things smart. I think Kelly mentioned the leaks on 12th Street. That's in the budget for this year to replace that water line. And then once we get the water line done, and you can see right now they're replacing the curbs right now. So after the water line's replaced, then we'll replace the street. So oftentimes you'll replace something like that underground, and then or you'll go replace the street, and then here comes the here comes digging it up again. So just being smart about how you do these things is important.
All right, Christian.
Just like Danny said, you know, prioritize what, you know, you're going to do next, and the money only goes so far, especially within a city of Emporia. You know, when you talk about the big water crisis that we had, it was scary. I mean, there's a lot of things that could have gone wrong that necessarily didn't, but you know, businesses that you have locally lost money, you know, people with small children, there's no water for them to drink. There's a lot that could have happened that didn't. Again, we don't want that to happen again. You know, when we talk about the sewer line and the water lines, when you want to continue to do that stuff, obviously it takes money, and you don't want to talk about raising taxes, but if that's something you had to do, it's not going to be very popular within the community. So you do your best to stay away from that. And again, you prioritize your money and figure out what you're going to do. That's the best solution for the long term.
All right, Becky.
Well, I come at it from a different perspective. I mean, yes, we do need to prioritize, and we do need to, we really need to take care of what we've got right now. As we grow, we need to make it is a sustainable growth. You can't just pop up a housing development and think, okay, now we're going to have everything. It's like, well, no, we need to take care of the ones that are 60, 70, 80 years old. My husband is a fireman, and so their priority is water. If there has been times when the water pressure's low and the city's had to look into that and they have discovered a problem under the lines, I mean, you can't just x-ray, you know, underneath. You don't see it until it's a problem. But there are ways to go back and look at maybe what is the oldest, what is giving you the worst water pressure. But you also have to look at the streets. You need to be able to have emergency vehicles. You need to be able to get your own car down without the potholes, because then you're causing other damage. So I really think the city needs to back up a little bit and maybe even do a timeline of how old some of these structures are, what they're made out of. Is there a way that we can use the newest technology?
All right, time for rebuttal. Anyone?
I'll just maybe get a little bit more information. I know Christian and Kelly both mentioned the water main break back in July, which shut down the water service in the community. In the past couple weeks, we've actually had valves installed where that should not happen again. If we do have another break in that 28-inch pressurized water line, we'll be able to cap it and switch it to a 16-inch line and still provide water service in the past. We've never had that redundancy, and that's one of the things that when we are doing infrastructure projects, or we have done infrastructure projects in the past, we've made sure we are adding workable valves and things that can prevent shutoffs and prevent problems in the future. But that's just something they may not have known, because that's something we've kind of done internally the last couple of weeks.
Okay. All right, we'll move on to our next question here. What are your thoughts on how the city can further its relationships with Emporia State and Flint Hills Technical College? And we'll start with Kelly.
Well, I think both entities are very important, and I think, in fact, Flint Hills Tech is actually underrated. A lot of their graduates actually stay here, and in the long run, they're paying sales tax and property tax. And I think we should try to target industries and businesses that would hire the graduates of Emporia State and Flint Hills Tech, because that's one way we can grow. But we also need to help them with what they need. Emporia is not strong without Emporia City or Flint Hills Tech School being strong, and they're not strong without us being strong. We need both to be strong at the same time to grow.
All right, Danny.
Emporia State and Flint Hills Techs are very important, very, very important to our community. So I think the relationships that we have with them is something, a work in progress. You know, as they have needs or there's cooperation opportunities there, I think we need to take advantage of those. And I think we've done a pretty good job the last couple of years. You know, we're always in contact with Emporia State and down on different projects that they're doing. Right now, we're funding a $125,000 scholarship grant that they've got. So, and Flint Hills Techs, like Kelly mentioned, most of our industries that we have here are using the graduates from Flint Hills Techs. I went to VecTech when they got Exporter of the Year here a couple years ago, and they mentioned that 70% of their machinists in there come right from the tech college out there. And they're able to respond to needs that these industries have and our community has. So that's pretty much, you know, they're important.
Okay. Christian.
You know, both Emporia State and Flint Hills Tech are a huge economic driver for Emporia. Recently, we were named one of the top cities to have entrepreneurs. Emporia is affordable. We got to figure out a way to collaborate with both the university and the tech college to make sure we can keep those students here. I know with the tech college, they have a great return on putting students back into the community, and with Emporia State, it tends to have a lot more students go here and leave. So whatever we can do to, you know, push forward and make sure that we have those jobs readily available when they do graduate, I think that's probably one of the main goals that we need as a city to come to.
All right, Becky.
The tech college does a wonderful job of knowing what industry is going to always need jobs. A lineman job or the welding is very popular at the moment. And so they do a really good job of basically placing their students into the job that they're ready to go. Emporia State doesn't quite do that as well. I'm an Emporia State graduate, marketing degree. I do know that, you know, Main Street's been really working with the business college to get those children, I call them children, I'm old enough that they're my children's age, sorry, those students, those young adults, excuse me, get them off campus, get them attached to something in town, and that's where you're going to need to grow to keep your students staying. The block party that they throw shows them, you know, what Emporia has to offer, so you don't have to go home every weekend. It would be nice if Emporia State would let small businesses sell something on campus, but you can't due to their contracts with Sodexo and the union and all that other stuff. And so that, I think, could also be another channel to get not only the students off of campus, but to get the community up onto campus. A lot of people feel like there's a wall there, and it's just the way it happens with colleges. But to be able to get those students off campus and actually engaging in other things happening around the town, when they start to graduate, they're like, well, I already have wonderful pockets of friends here. I already know where I want to live. I already know the businesses I'd like to get into. So that's a way of keeping them here instead of, yep, I've come for my job or my students. Excuse me. They've come for their education, and then they are off the moment they graduate. You really need to engage them into the community more.
All right. And John?
You know, I'll echo what everybody else has said. They're both true assets to our community. One of the things in the 4 years on the commission we've done some pretty in-depth goal setting. And one of the goals that we've not achieved and not made much progress towards, frankly, is working with, we were calling it our educational triad. So the tech college, Emporia State, and also the school district. And that's one opportunity that the next commission will have is to, you know, find out what the community can do to fully support those two, you know, jewels of our community. Obviously, Emporia would not be what it is, quality of life wise without both those. We would not have the jobs that people can get through the tech college or ESU. So those are things we need to support, but we have an opportunity to support those two and also the school district.
Okay. Well, let's take one more break here, and we'll open it up to some other questions here we're getting from some of the listening audience here. You're listening to the KVOE Candidate Forum here on 14 KVOE, 96.9 FM, and KVOE.com.
Here's Mike Kerbs, administrator of Holiday Resorts.
We strive every day to provide quality care for our residents 365 days a year. Our staff and our services are second to none, and what we are most proud of, among other things, is our physical, occupational, and speech therapy services. Visit our website at holidayresorts.net to learn more about the quality of care available to you or your loved one.
Welcome to the neighborhood, Holiday.
Here's Jim Wayman, president of ESB Financial.
We're proud to be a sponsor of Political Forums. We always have good candidates with different views, and it's our privilege as Americans to vote for the people who will lead our government into the future. It is our responsibility to be knowledgeable and informed voters. Forums such as this give us a chance to get to know the candidates and their positions better. As United States citizens, we have the freedom to choose our leaders.
ESB Financial, with locations in Emporia and Manhattan. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
This is Steve Brosmer with Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that the old saying, all politics is local, means that the foundation of our representative democracy begins with our local elected officials? Don't miss this opportunity to have your vote count more than in many other elections. I urge you to get out and vote for the candidates of your choice. And see us at Geotech for all your land surveying needs.
Keeping your cool under extreme conditions is important. The same goes for the roof over your head. Just ask your professional roofing contractor at George Grow & Sons. Reflective white TPO Carlisle roofing systems are proven to keep solar heat out of buildings, and they're energy efficient for high performance that's strikingly affordable. Now that's cool. George Grow & Sons Roofing and Sheet Metal, 805 East 6th in Emporia. Roofing Emporia since 1918.
KVOE's Candidate Forums. KVOE, live and local.
Welcome back to the City Commission Candidate Forum here. We're talking with the incumbents, John Geitz and Danny Giefer, as well as the challengers, Kelly Wade, Becky Jaggard-Smith, and Christian Kiesler. We've got some listeners out there who've texted in some questions to the Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line. We'll get to the first one here. This comes from Dave. Dave says he lives in the county 5-mile radius of Emporia, which puts him under city building codes. He has rural water and has a septic tank, and his house is compared to homes in the city for tax evaluation. Is there any consideration to allow us to vote for city commission position? What about put us back under county codes? And we'll start, I guess, with Danny.
First off, on voting in the city, you know, state law requires that you live within the city limits to vote. So I'm not sure there's much we can do with that. As far as his falling into the metropolitan area on the zoning codes there, you know, that's something that is that we were, you know, that's required. And I think the reason is that as the city grows, we want to make sure that as we expand, we draw in more area into the city or any other city in the state, that the zoning, you know, the building codes are match up to ours, so that we don't have a bunch of structures or stuff pulled into the city that don't match our building codes.
All right. Christian, you want to take a stab at that one?
Yeah, honestly, I'm just going to agree with everything Danny said. unfortunately, not allowed to vote in the city election currently. You know, maybe one day when Emporia does grow, hopefully that your housing is within that city limit, and that you're able to then.
So. Okay. Becky?
Not really. They've covered it. I mean, there's only so much that you can do. I mean, there are rules and regulations for reasons.
All right. John?
Only thing I would add is, to the best of my knowledge, most of the city building codes are in compliance with the international building codes. And so I'm very comfortable with our current building codes.
Kelly?
Well, I'm going to echo what everybody said. But being in the metropolitan planning area, you could have a voice if you want to talk, but I don't see how right now we could do anything based on what we have, the rules.
Okay. Next question on the KVOE value, or on the Fiber Optic Studio, the Bluestem Farmer Ranch text line here. What is your position on using White Auditorium for the ESU basketball tournament? And we'll start with Christian.
As far as I can remember, ESU's always used White Auditorium. Now, is the question for the regional tournament, I'm guessing?
I'm assuming that's what it's for.
As far as I know, there's always been a conflict with scheduling there. I think it would be great if ESU could host that regional. Sometimes they host it, sometimes they don't. And unfortunately, that's just kind of how it falls, I think the only other option would be is ESU build their own facility. I don't think that's going to happen. It costs a lot of money, and it's just not feasible for them to do that.
All right, Becky?
Well, as everybody knows, I bleed black and gold. I mean, my grandfather was a vice president of student affairs. He was president of the foundation. My whole family has traveled constantly to games, basketball, football, everything. And I know where these people are coming from. It's a tough situation because our girls are fantastic, but everybody wants to play at White Auditorium because it's a fantastic place to play. But coming from a city's perspective, you cannot overlook the economic impact that the tournaments provide in the springtime. And, you want those smaller towns because they bring more. MIAA hosting that, the regional, it's not always guaranteed. Unfortunately, if you cannot get Keisha and the MIAA or the NCAA in a room together, not much is really going to come out of this. I'd like to see them be able to work a little bit better and work a little bit scheduling, but NCAA, let's face it, they don't have to play ball. They are who they are. And so you want to play nice with everybody, and you're proud that they want to play in your auditorium. But from an economic standpoint, it just doesn't always work out that way that we can host. But from my black and gold side, I wish we could really do both.
All right, John.
So if there was a solution to this, it would have been probably recognized by now. One thing, and Danny and I have been part of meetings with Keisha. We've been part of the internal debate about this for almost a year now. And one thing I think Keisha's getting a bad rap in this, in that people are saying that they're not flexible. Keisha's the only group that has been flexible. They have been willing to move start dates. They've been willing to move start times, and even in different days of the week they're using. It's the NCAA, and the NCAA, to the best of my knowledge, has basically said every game in the country in all four regionals will be paid at the same time. And it's just not to give the next round of people an unfair advantage. And so, I can definitely understand that. It's a unique problem because, 60, 70 years ago, the town had the foresight to build a community facility that could be used for the SU, for the high school. And this is just one of the negative consequences of ESU not having their own arena. That being said, it's been a great partnership between ESU and the community, and a good partnership between the high school association. I wish there was an easy answer, but so far we haven't found one.
Okay, Kelly?
Well, there's not much new I can say. I'm a big fan of the Hornets, but what John and Becky said's true, and Christian, there's not much new I can add to that one.
Okay. And Danny?
Being the fifth one here, answer that, I pretty much agree with everybody else. It's been something that we've worked on, like John said, for a year. We've had meetings on it, and we're still, we're not completely saying that at this point that it won't happen, that we can't work out anything on it, because we've got a couple more answers to come back yet before I don't know that we'll ever close the door on one or the other being here, because we'd like to see them both. So we're the only Regency school that ESU is the only one that doesn't have their auditorium. There's drawbacks to that. There's positives. They pay minimal rent down at the auditorium, and it's a great place to play basketball. The negative part of it is, we can't host. So far we haven't been able to host the regional. So it's a work in progress. I'm not sure how many more doors that we need to open, but.
All right. Well, we're running a little short here on time here. Why don't we go ahead and go into our closing statements here? And we started with Becky, so we're going to go the reverse order this time. We'll let Christian go first.
I went first last one, I guess.
You know, KVOA, I appreciate you, you know, having us on today, and these questions were great. You know, this is my fourth time running. You know, I've been involved over and over and trying to get my name out there as much as I can, and being as involved as I can. Truly, everyone who's listening to KVOE today, I appreciate you, you know, tuning in and making sure that you're up to date on your candidates. And, you know, with the way the election falls this time in November, it's a little bit different from the spring elections that we're used to. But just get out there and vote. You know, if you have questions, feel free to reach out to everybody, all the candidates here. I appreciate everybody for running. And it's not always fun. You know, it takes time, money, resources that we don't always have. But I would appreciate your vote on November 7th. Thank you.
All right, Danny.
Well, thanks again to KVOE for the chance to chat with everyone this morning. This community means a lot to me, and I take pride in having the opportunity to give back as a volunteer and as a voice on the City Commission. I moved my family here to Emporia in 1970 for a job opportunity at Iowa Beef, and it was the best decision I could have made. I'm proud to live and work and raise my family here. I want to make sure my grandkids and yours have the same opportunity to find good jobs and raise their families here too. I ask for the privilege of your vote Tuesday, November the 7th. Thank you.
All right, Kelly.
I want to thank everyone, including the listeners, KVOE, and their staff for giving us the time to talk. I love Emporia and want to give back. I really have a strong passion for that. I want to see it grow. I would represent all of Emporia, not one group. I would appreciate your vote on November 7th. Pre-voting starts in a week or two at the courthouse on October 23rd, and I would appreciate your vote. Thank you.
All right, John.
Thanks, Brandon. I've really enjoyed the last 4 years on the City Commission, and I think I bring some pretty unique strengths to that role, both in long-range planning and budgeting, and I'd like to be able to continue that for the next 4 years. Appreciate KVOE having us on this morning, and just wanted to alert the community that the next forum will be Tuesday, October 17th at 6:30 at the Tech College, and that's sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce and the League of Women Voters. So there will be another opportunity to meet all five of us and hear our opinions on things. But again, I appreciate the opportunity, and I hope to earn everyone's vote on November 7th. Thank you.
All right, Becky.
Thank you, KVOE, your listeners. It is very important to get out the vote on November 7th. I mean, I know there's only a couple of decisions. There's school board, city, and the sales tax, but it is important for your vote to be heard. I am a lifelong Emporian. I have worked in many facets around on boards and things and different businesses and different organizations, and I feel I have a really good broad background, so I hope that you can trust me with your vote. Thank you.
All right. Again, this has been the City Commission Forum here on KVOE. Thanks to our sponsors, ESB Financial, George Groh & Sons Roofing, Geotech, and Holiday Resort. Thanks to all the candidates, John Geitz, Danny Giefer, Kelly Wade, Becky Jaggard-Smith, and Christian Kiesler for being here. We appreciate it, and we encourage everybody to go out and vote. Our next candidate forum coming up on Thursday here at 10 a.m. We'll be doing the Emporia School Board candidates. We'll have the incumbents, Doug Epp and Mike Crouch on the program, as well as Iona Moore and Melissa Ogilby. So be sure to tune in for that one, 10:06 on Thursday here on KVOE. I'm Brandon Peoples here on KVOE for everything live and local.
Candidate Forums 27. 27-